remember, the right price in front of the right potential customers that will activate them to join your database with a sequence that is designed to get them to make a purchase, to make the next step, and then an ongoing communication strategy. That's what you need, and it becomes a perpetual motion machine that allows you to continue to add new people to your database. Word of mouse, not word of mouth. That's got to be a mantra.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of David versus David, the podcast for the small and medium business owner, where we discuss all good things marketing and business to help you move along in your business and hopefully be a little bit bigger tomorrow and next week than the same time yesterday or last week. I'm David Pritchard here in the UK. My co-host for the last 101 episodes or so has been David Council, and today there is no difference. It's David Council down in sunny Hobart, Tasmania. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good, Groover. How are you?
I am doing tiddly-pom time. Yep, absolutely fantastic. It's all good here. Yeah, here we are. So we've moved into the hundreds now as we move into these episodes. And what are we going to be talking about today, do you reckon?
Well, we were discussing that we might talk about databases and how you can add big numbers to your database in a relatively straightforward way, something that's not out of the reach of every small to medium business person anywhere in the world. You know, it's something that we get asked about a lot is, you know, oh, Dave, I've only got, you know, 10, 100, 1,000 people in my database. It's not enough, Dave. What can I do to get more people? How can I get quality people? Well, you know, there are pretty easy ways to go about adding people to your database. And I think a lot of people, for some reason, have lost touch with how to actually do that and how to do it in a simple way, because it's very easy to start complicating your life and looking for, you know, really complicated ways to get people into your database. And one thing I will preface all of this by is make sure when you're adding people to your database that you're adding people that are, one, real, and two, valuable to your business. Don't just add, you know, thousands and thousands of people because you can, or add thousands of thousands of people who are likely to buy from you.
Yeah, absolutely. If the marketplace for your product in the whole world is 1,000 people, then obviously you want to get that 1,000 people, but you don't want another 999,000 people who are just total wasters as far as you're concerned. Mm. Yeah, you've got to maintain the focus and the pertinence of your database as well. So, yeah, indeed, don't corrupt it just for the sake of vanity. But yeah, we are talking here, going to be talking about how to get those people that are missing from your database, how to get more people in your database who are of value to you. And as David says, you know, those couple of things there, they are important. The other one, of course, is to get people in your database who want to be on your database. You know, they've given you permission to add them. You get all the data protection and legalistic things now of you can't just grab people's email address and stick them in your database without their permission. Yeah, double opt-in email databases are the requirement, really, so that when you send something, A, they're more likely to be expecting it, which is always good, and more likely to be wanting it, which is even better, and most importantly, less likely to hit the "this is spam" and get you flagged as a spammer, basically. So we certainly don't want things like that. But anyway, that's all the preface and the legal warnings at the beginning of a book sort of thing. You know, this is not legal investment advice. Share prices may go up as well as down. Da 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 da. No, we're just sort of, you know, keeping it clean. There's still excellent ways to build and expand rapidly a database. So that's where we're at the moment.
One of the things you mentioned there is really actually worth just slightly reinforcing, and that is if you don't use a database for 2 years, it's dead. And it's not dead because it's lack of use. It's dead because the law says it's dead. If you haven't communicated with the people in your database within a 2-year period, and then you all of a sudden you try and revive it, you're actually in breach of the international anti-spam rules. So you must keep the conversation going. And, you know, once every 2 years is not that big a period. you know, just to say, hi, how are you doing?
What you may well find, and almost certainly will find, is if you do contact your database once every 2 years or even once a year, you know, once a year is too long.
Yes.
There has to be a valid reason, really, as to why you're contacting somebody after a year if they're on your email database. But you will probably find that your open rates, so the number of people that actually open the emails that you're sending, let's say that 1,000 people on your email list and you haven't contacted them for a year for whatever reason, you send an email to them, you will probably get a much lower open rate of people clicking on the email, opening it and looking at it, than you would do if you had been in contact with them once a month or once every couple of weeks or so on. And obviously, you know, we're not saying here you've got to send something just for the sake of sending something to keep in contact with them, but you really ought to be thinking, you know, if these people are on my database, I should have a good reason to contact them. I should have something useful to tell them. I should have something useful to offer them once a month anyway, you know, or at least once a quarter, once every 2 or 3 months, you ought to be able to be in contact with them like that.
Yeah.
So if you're contacting them after 2 years, you've really got to think, you know, why, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not great. So you've got to up your ante a bit on that one. And to be fair, I'll hold my hands up here. I have a small database where I have been in that position. And, you know, I've let things drift with the database. I've been working on another project and I hadn't got back to these guys. And I know from experience, you know, what I've just said there was absolutely true. The open rates when I used to email them once every 2 or 3 or 4 weeks was relatively good at about 50 to 70%, depending. The open rate when I contacted them after 9 or 10 months, I think it was way lower. It was like 20, 25%. And there were a few unsubscribes and all that sort of stuff, all the stuff you didn't really want to see. Yeah, I'd more or less killed the database, sort of. Luckily, there was still sufficient there that I made something from it, but it was a lesson learned anyway. So, sorry, David.
No problem at all. So, yeah, absolutely. Use it or lose it. All right, so step one in terms of growing your database, and this is why this is such a simple strategy, is give something away. Now, everything we're going to talk about starts with this today. So this is why any business can do this, because every business can give something away. However, that something is absolutely crucial that you pick the right something. And it is the number one failure that I see when people are starting out to do this type of growth into a database, is they pick something that falls into the following categories. Crap they don't want. Crap a supplier has given them that the supplier doesn't want. Something that they were going to use for themselves, but, oh, look, it's going to expire and I don't have enough time to use it. Oh, I'll give it away. They're not valid reasons for giving it away. Think about who your customers are, what's valuable to them, and find that particular item and give that away. Now, that could be your products and services. It could be something a supplier has given you, but only if it's valuable to your clients. For example, if you're a service industry, let's say you run an advertising agency, then the hours that you spend doing things for potential clients is valuable. However, it's got to have a measurable value, because if you say, oh, look, we'll give you $100 worth of our time, then that's not quantifiable for your clients. You know, what does $100 buy me? You know, because if you're like most agencies, different services cost different things. You know, an hour of television edit isn't the same as an hour of someone cutting out pictures of fruit.
Yeah.
So it's got to be quantifiable. Otherwise, the client in their own brain can't measure what that's worth, and therefore they don't, you know, place any value on it. And therefore, why would they opt in to that type of promotion that's going to allow you to grow, you know, your database? Because at the end of the day, that's what you want. You want their name on a list so that you can market to them in the hope that somewhere down the track, you are going to be able to grow the incremental income that you earn from that connection's name into your business. Now, if the client can't measure it, the client can't use it, the client doesn't sign up to it. How many things have we all got into our inboxes in the last, oh, I don't know, 2 months, where someone has offered us something that you look at and you go, nah, not interested. You know, the reason that you weren't interested is that the value of that prize to you, or the value of that incentive to you, wasn't great enough for you to give them your name.
Yeah, indeed. Or you're too suspicious about it. Or, you know, if you think there's a catch, and if there is a catch, you know, you don't want to offer it because, you know, people smell a rat a mile away, and you want to make it really clean, really simple, really upfront. This is what you're going to get. This is, and you certainly don't want people to think, oh, if I give my email address here and I enter this competition, I know I'm now going to be hassled for this, or they're going to try and twist my arm on that, and so on and so on. So you know, keep it clean, keep it simple, keep it upfront.
Yeah, and a really important point there, David, as part of what you're doing in this acquisition mode is you need to tell them what you're going to do with it. Because if you leave it just hanging out there, then, you know, you're going to assume that, oh, God, if I give them my name and my email address, they're going to send me 700 emails a week, and oh, I just haven't got time to deal with that. Spell it out for them. Give them the facts on what you're going to do and how you're going to deal with it. And if you're not going to bombard them with emails, you know, 700 in a week, then tell them.
Yeah. You'll get one email from us a month or something like that, or yeah, whatever you're going to do, be open, upfront, and clean with it.
We send out a video, as David knows, to our clients and to prospective clients every week. It goes out on a Tuesday. In fact, David and I are recording this. It's a Tuesday, and I'm sitting here keeping an eye on my emails for it to roll out as part of the process. And when we sign people up to that video, we say to them, all that you will receive is one video per week, and it's full of free ideas of things that will help you with your advertising and marketing. So if you're not interested in that, don't sign up. We're very upfront in how we treat that, and you should be doing the same. I was talking to someone the other day who was saying, I want to put my toe in the water. I want to do a little bit of content marketing. How can I acquire some new email addresses for people who are potentially good value for me? And how can I let them know that I'm not going to, because he's in an industry where people do tend to get bombarded with emails from this particular industry. And he said, I want people to know that that's not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to send them, you know, 300 emails a week. I'm not even going to send them 3 emails a week. I'm just going to reach out to them once a week and let them know where this particular item sits.
Yep, indeed, absolutely. Now then, you're talking about giving a freebie there. You know, you hit on the thing here, which is that, you know, the freebie, what you're offering should be something that is pertinent, relevant, and of interest to the customer or potential customer, so that they're willing to sign up for you. Now, that's certainly going one way with it. The second thing, of course, is that you want something over time. You want to get the return on that for your business. So if you're giving stuff away, then ideally that stuff that you give away should also build up the requirement for your products, your services, in the mind of the person that's getting the freebie. So I see this a lot in my world of internet marketing and so on. Let's say you're a website development business. You may give away a super free guide on how to build a website. And yeah, that's related to your business. So you're going to be telling a small business person, a tradie perhaps or whatever, who hasn't got time to build a website themselves, but you might be outlining the various steps that are needed, you know, so buying a domain name, buying web hosting, why you need this, why you need that, and so on. And you might be setting out these steps for them so that they get a greater understanding of what's actually going to be the process and so on. So you're telling them why, giving them all the information that they need. It's a nice little free guide, and it's building the requirement for your services. You might be giving away some part of your service that leads on to the next part of your service. So you might be giving away the half-hour consultation and so on. And that would then, you know, hopefully lead through to, you know, the no-obligation consultation, of course. But that will then lead on to somebody actually thinking, you know what, these guys, I've understood a little bit about it, and I can see where I'm missing tricks in my business. I'm missing tricks in what I need. And I'm happy to engage with them a little bit further. A great example I had of that was I went to an exhibition a few months back now, where a company was running a seminar, free seminar. You could just turn up, and obviously they had a lot of a captive audience there of exhibitors and people that ran their own small businesses, and they were running an hour long seminar on trademark protection and intellectual property protection. And they went through, you know, all the information that you needed to know, and, you know, this is how you can do it yourself, blah, 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 blah. And you walked away with it. All you got at the end was their business card, ever so persuasive. They weren't trying to, you know, now contact us for this and now contact us for that. They'd spelt it out in quite clear and plain and simple terms as to you know, what the problems were, what you needed to fix it. And, you know, at the end, it was like, you know, basically, if anybody wants to contact us to look at it further, here's our card. Now, it was a great hour of lots of useful information, and you know, and I went on their database because it was useful stuff to get. And I'm thinking, you know, this is something I want to be looking at for my business, and so I've gone down that route with them. Very, very useful to do. So they're giving something useful away, and you know, you got this guide as to what intellectual property protection was all about, da 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 da, and it led through to their services. So it was a small upsell progression all the way through, really. So you know, give something away for free. Think about what the end result's going to be. If you're giving away, let's say you are a legal company like that, say, that specializes in some aspect of the law. If you give away a car, you know, great, somebody's going to win a car, but you know, are they going to come back to you? And are all the other people that entered the competition for a car, are they going to come back to you? No, because they've not won a car. But if you're giving away something, you know, and it doesn't have to be incredibly valuable, it just has to be relevant and useful and pertinent to the people that you're targeting. And if they're interested in what you're offering, you know, it could be a free report, it could be a 20-page guide, a 20-page report, it could be something as simple as that, that really just gets people going. Perhaps you build a same example as before, a website development company. You know, a lot of people, a number of people that come across who say, oh, I think my website's crap. You know, it's been like this for 5 years and so on. Well, you know, hey, we'll do a website review for you. We'll produce a report on your website as to what's good about it and what's bad about it, and let you decide it. You know, that's probably going to take somebody half an hour maybe to an hour. So you're talking maybe $20 or $50 worth of time. You know, that's what it's worth. That's what the cost is to you. That's what it's worth to the customer. Or it's worth a lot more to the customer perhaps. But, you know, there will be things in there that potentially will encourage them to engage with you and spend $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 worth of work with you.
Yeah, because if they'd selected the wrong prize to start with, you, which is, you know, the seminar, you wouldn't have taken part. Therefore, you wouldn't be in their database. You wouldn't have then gone on to spend. Mm-hmm. And of course, if they'd tried to jump on you, you know, like a cat on a ball of wool, as soon as
they're given, back off,
yeah,
let me out.
Yeah, that's right. So you know, that's. An excellent example of exactly what we're talking about. The next part is, how do you then let people know that aren't in your, you know, your existing database that this is on offer? And also importantly, how do you make sure that the people who are inside your existing database don't hear about it and get pissed off because you're not offering it to them? Paying attention, indeed. Banks. This is because the banks do this all of the time. So you've got to have a strategy before you begin on how you're going to get this information out there, because you know, it's not like they're already in your database and you can email that out to them. You need to email your existing database and make them an offer that is at least similar so that they can take advantage of it, because what you're trying to do with the existing people is get an incremental spend from them. You don't want to exclude them from the offer. So you need to think about things like, where are your customers in their biggest groups that you can place this offer in front of? For example, if you're a retirement village, surely bowling clubs and senior social clubs, excellent place to go to. If you're targeting families, then local schools, lots of, you know, local families involved in local schools. You don't necessarily have to go to main media to get this message out there. Main media is an option, but when it comes back to measuring, you know, the value of reaching 1,000 people and then how many of those 1,000 people that you can convert into the database, that's where you've got to start, you know, weighing up all of the different options for bringing people into your database. Because after all, you know, with the local school example, they've already got those people in a database. All you're after is a way to share their database so that you can get your message in front of them and then see if you can convert the maximum number of people over.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that school one there. That can be, obviously, depending on what your market is, but you know, find the right school as well. You know, we have certainly in the UK, we have state schools and private fee-paying schools.
Yep.
And those fee-paying schools, they're businesses. In fact, most schools are businesses now, one way or another. Even the state ones. But you know, those private schools, they have perhaps 1,000 or 1,500 children there whose parents are all not all, but generally high earning, high net worth individuals that have got £10,000, £20,000, £50,000 a year to send little Johnny and little Sarah to school there. And, you know, they're likely to be running their own successful businesses and so on. So, you know, they're an attractive market to attack. You know, the school will quite often have a newsletter and quite often have a printed newsletter as well. You know, it's something that they encourage the children to get involved in and produce themselves. You can probably advertise in that school letter for diddly squat, you know, $100, $200, $300, you know, relatively small amounts. And that advert's going out to some very, you know, attractive audience that you're there. It can be, you know, it can be a very targeted and surefire way of getting your message in front of a good audience. So think a little bit, you know, laterally as well sometimes. Think, you know, where is my market? Where are the people that I'm looking to attract here? Yep. So it doesn't have to be random Google ads, you know, however well you can target them and stuff. It doesn't just have to be Facebook ads. There are other ways of doing it as well. But
I spoke to a business during the week, a storage business, who came to us saying, I think I need to advertise on Facebook. I need more people to use my storage facility. And we had exactly that conversation about local schools, because families are one of his primary target groups. Mm-hmm. And he said, I had never thought of that. And he was about to go and spend a whole heap of money to attract people to Facebook, when what he really needed was people in a database so that he could market to them ongoing. Because yeah. You know, people use storage facilities at numerous times throughout their life, and not everybody does. And that was the other thing that we spoke about, is rationalizing his expectation of how many people he can draw into the business. Because if he lives in a town of 10,000 people, not all 10,000 of them need his storage facility at any one time.
Yep.
And adding people to a Facebook page would have made his life more complicated, because he would then have still had to have extracted them across to a database. And ultimately, how many people want to be friends with a Facebook page of a local storage company?
Absolutely, indeed. And, you know, he's going to have to put stuff up on that Facebook page to keep them engaged over time, because if you don't put stuff on your Facebook page on a regular basis and people don't look at it on a regular basis, then Facebook decides that actually your stuff's really not worth showing to that audience. So it's all a bit squiffy. Just going back to your local storage guy, though, and I imagine that's local storage and maybe house removals and that kind of thing. You know, another great place for him to advertise would be anything similar, you know, notice boards, whatever, newsletters for kindergartens, preschool and so on. People with young families, you know, when do you move house? When your families, well, you move house for a number of reasons, one of which is, you know, desirability. Hey, you know, that's a nice house in a nicer area than we did now. The other one is, yeah, we're growing. We, you know, our two-bedroom house, we've got four kids now. you know, you're going to move, you know, if you've got a family that's expanding like that, chances are you're going to move to accommodate them, you know. Or the other one is retirement. You know, people downsize at the other end of their lives. They move from the bigger family house to the retirement bungalows or whatever. Mm. So again, you know, the bowling clubs, the golf clubs, the places where, you know, perhaps older people, again, with a little bit of retirement income to spend, you know, they are your market. So you think about where the people that you are targeting actually hang out and where they're going to be. And that's obviously going to be a very laser-focused method of attacking that market.
I should also add that if you are going to use Facebook, because I don't want people to think that I'm poo-pooing using Facebook, because I'm not, but if you are going to use Facebook to promote, to try and build a database, make sure that you use the Facebook conversion pixel, because then anyone who's seen that ad that you've managed to pull through, you add that pixel to them, which is, let's face it, it's just a cookie. It follows them around. You want to drive them to a landing page that is especially for that, so that you can try and convert them into your database. But at least the pixel will allow you to then place Facebook ads that they will see. Because if they've been interested once, then you need to track them through and try and convert them. So that way, that'll save you wasting money on people who are outside of that field of influence, and accurately get the right message in front of those people. So yeah, Facebook conversion pixel, make sure you use it. Even if you're not using it, make sure at least it's going on to as many people who have been to your Facebook page or to your website page as you possibly can. It will come in handy at some point in the future. It's the same thing as the Google has a very similar product that you can use so that you can track those people through other websites and have your ad show up for them as well. So they're two things that you really should be doing all of the time.
Something that's implicit in everything you've said there, David, is also very important, which is that by all means, if Facebook's relevant to you or any other method that's relevant for you, what you are doing here, what we said at the outset of this podcast was building your database, not building a fan base on Facebook, not building something on somebody else's platform. At the end of the day, if you end up with 10 people on your email database, but I've got 50,000 fans on Facebook, it's brilliant. Yes, it is in a way, but that's sitting on somebody else's platform. That's sitting on Facebook's platform. And if you fall foul of the rules, then you've lost that 50,000 people to engage with. If you direct them through a congruent message, a message that says this is what we're offering as a freebie, and that you promote or whatever, and that URL that you give them, that connection that you give them, takes them to your website, your database link, your opt-in. And the message that they see when they get there ties in with what they expected. So, your initial message says, this is our giveaway, this is our competition, this is our freebie, this is what we're offering. And they follow it through and they get to your website, the opt-in that actually says, confirms it, says, this is what we're offering. It all ties in. They've not been taken from something that says one thing to a page that says, oh, no, now we've got you, we're actually going to tell you something different. Don't do that. Keep it on message all the way through. And you're going to increase your opt-in rates so that you are building your database, which is your asset and which is actually quite valuable to you. So keep it online like that. Keep it congruent all the way through.
Absolutely. Another thing to do too when you're trying to build a database, and this is one of the things that a lot of people miss out on, is don't get to the end of the promotion that you're currently doing where you're using it to gather new people and then just stop. Make sure you've got a strategy for ongoing communication, and make sure as part of that strategy for ongoing communication that you ask them if they know anybody else that you might be able to help. Ask for the referral. If you've added 1,000 people to your database from a giveaway promotion, we ran one for a jeweler, for example, last year. They added 10,000 people to their database. So ask them if they know anyone else, because if you add 1%, if you get 1% of the 1,000 people to actually give you a positive referral that ends up in someone else being in your database, they've just added 10 more people for you just by virtue of you asking. So, and 10 people, you might be sitting there going, oh, well, 10 people is not very much, Dave. It's like, yeah, but seriously, for the cost of an email, how much does that cost? Oh, that's right, nothing. You've added 10 more potential customers to your business. Now, if you had 10 extra people walk in to your business because someone had referred them, you would say that they're great people because they're referring business to you. Same deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Indeed, absolutely. Anything else we've got to go here?
No, I reckon that's a lot. If you're doing that as part of a promotion, you will add stacks of people to your database. It is a sort of no-fail type scenario. Remember, the right prize in front of the right potential customers that will activate them to join your database with a sequence that is designed to get them to make a purchase, to make the next step, and then an ongoing communication strategy. That's what you need, and it becomes a perpetual motion machine that allows you to continue to add new people to your database. Word of mouse, not word of mouth. That's got to be a mantra.
Absolutely like it. Right, cracking. That was quite good, David. I hope that's been useful to our listeners. That's going to be it for this week, I think.
Yep.
As ever, to engage with us through Facebook, facebook.com/David versus David is where you can find us there. We also have our website of www.davidversusdavid.com where you can access the other 100-and-something episodes that have preceded this one and find other useful and focused episodes. I think pretty much every episode we have gives the title and the opening gives the clue as to what it's about, and we talk about one specific thing on each episode normally, and then we also have, of course, good old iTunes, where you can subscribe to the podcast and get all the other episodes there as well, and leaving us nice reviews as well, which we always appreciate. Nice to know what people think about us, and we like the nice ones, and if we can improve, then let us know.
Absolutely.
Let us know nicely, like we always like that. So yeah, I guess from me here in the UK, it's going to be over and out. So goodbye from me, David Pritchard.
And it's goodbye from me here in beautiful Paradise, Tasmania. Until next time, catch you later.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.